What an amazing atmosphere. Amen? Wow. I want you to think of some words this morning before I get into our third message on generosity. God's love calls us to a life of generosity. Think of the word for a moment, generosity. Just think about generosity. Think about grace. The word grace. Think about mercy. Two words, unconditional love. Unconditional love. And think about justice. Justice. There are so many more adjectives that describe Father God. Amen. But justice. Justice was placed on Christ at the cross. We deserved death. The justice of God was completely fulfilled when He placed every bit of mankind's sin on His Son Jesus. And Pastor Larry, something came to me when you were talking about the thief on the cross. And we've talked about this before when he said, "Remember me." What portion of the law did the thief fulfill? Thank you, Dennis. Nothing, and it was actually before the death of Jesus Christ. You ponder that for a moment. You ponder that. And so as we speak about generosity and the transformation of our hearts, because you see, generosity really is about Jesus saying, "I want all of your heart. I want every part of you, every part of your being. I want to invade your life. I want to invade your soul. But I'm asking that you invite me into every area of your heart and every area of your life." Because if you think about generosity, you can't help but think about the cross of Christ. You can't help but think about the sacrifice that was paid. You cannot help but think about unconditional love, because we're still taught that even after salvation, isn't there something we have to do? Isn't there some religious treadmill that we should get on? Isn't there some kind of works that we have to perform to please God the Father? And the answer is no. God's love is absolutely unconditional towards us. And I tell you what, I've had a revelation of it like I've never had before. And you are sitting here today, and many of us still struggle. Does God love me enough? Does God still, even though you're in Christ, you wrestle like I've wrestled with it, because it's got to move from here to here. Generosity is about and is built on the foundation of the unconditional love of Father God, Papa, Abba, that Jesus introduced Him to us. He came to introduce us to Father God. I've shared this with a number of people. Becky and I have recently watched a documentary that's on Netflix. How many of you have Netflix? The rest of you are lying. Okay. Oh, okay. Seriously. We don't watch movies. Anyway. The Heart of Man. Write it down. The Heart of Man. It's a documentary. Christian documentary with a story, incredible storyline behind it. About the pursuit of Father God after us. The pursuit of Father God after us. You need to watch it without your children, because it shares many stories of people in there who fell into sexual sin and had been sexually abused as children. Doesn't matter if that's never happened to you. Most of us still don't get the unconditional love of God. And what they discovered in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their sin, in the midst of all the messes of their life, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, was right in the midst of all of it. Some of you don't believe that, I can tell. Some of you do not believe that. In fact, last Saturday night, Becky was out, and it was my son Mitch who put me onto this documentary. And he said, Dad, he said, with you and Mom and this church and how many people that you work with on an individual basis that have been so wounded in their life, he said, you have to watch this documentary. So last Saturday night, Becky was out, I watched it on my own. And I sat there in the quietness of my home. And the revelation of the unconditional love of God was so powerful to me, it went from here to here. I wept. We watched it a second time on Monday together. I wept. We've watched it a third time. Today we're watching it a fourth time. Some of you still don't think you are good enough. Some of you still think you have to do something to please God. And the answer is this, the very answer he gave me. He said, Mark, he said, you could sit on your couch the rest of your life. I love you. You don't have to go out and do what you're doing. I love you. That's it. You're my son. And it's out of that unconditional love, folks, hear this, we want to minister the hope, the love, the peace, the grace, the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am convinced of something else. You've heard me talk about revival and you've heard me talk about reformation. I heard this about revival this week. Revival is for individuals. Come on, folks, we need personal revival. Can we be honest here? Well, at least it starts with three of you. We need personal revival. Reformation is for the institution, the church. We've made it into an institution. And our Lord Jesus Christ is going to give a new wineskin and new wine, but he has to change his people. I want the change, folks. I'm seeking after the change, the stuff that God wants to lovingly reveal within me. And if I could say this, if anything I think that is going to be the reformed, the reformation of the church, it is people who move in the power of the Holy Spirit and understand the unconditional love of God. Can I hear an amen? Yeah, we've got to get this by the Spirit. And see, somebody right now is saying, Pastor, what do you do about sin? Really? I'll tell you what you do with it. You preach under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the unconditional love of God, and you address that without that love, we are all hellbound. The Holy Spirit will deal with the sin in people's lives. It's the Spirit's job. And he will draw them to the cross, which is the greatest display of love the world has ever seen. And in a nation right now, a country that is mocking people who believe in Jesus Christ, mocking it and making a mockery of our beliefs. There's only one way ahead in this. Number one, or there's a number, prayer. We need a mighty prayer movement. Number two, we need a mighty movement of the church rising up. Number three, we must not rise up in anger. We must rise up in the absolute unconditional love of God. And the power of preaching, the power of the Holy Spirit to take it into a nation that, folks, is in serious trouble. That's the truth. But if you're here today and you still think there's something more that you have to do to get the attention of God, no, you've got his attention. You're his child. Can I hear an amen? It's truth, and it has to be brought about by the Spirit. Generosity is all about a transformed heart. Pastor Larry, the illustration last week about the, if you were here last week, the baptism, and they would raise their swords up above the water so the sword, their swords would not be baptized, and you illustrated, sometimes we've done that with our wallet. Oh God, don't baptize my wallet. I'm keeping that part away. Every part of our life has to die and surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Every part. Turn in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 24. You see an apple up here, and you see a pair of pliers. Don't ask me to use these on any part of your house. If you know me, you will not ask me. You have notes in front of you from the bulletin. In his book, Dreaming with God, Bill Johnson says this, "Kingdom abundance is not measured in what I have, but what I have given away." Wow. What a transformative thought. Kingdom abundance is not measured in what I have, but in what I have given away. The mindset of abundance says we give freely. Freely we have received, freely we give, Jesus said. The open hand is a giving hand, and the open hand is a receiving hand. We've been taught to be givers, we've not been taught to be good receivers. But open-handedness is giving, and open-handedness is also receiving. The mindset of abundance, of kingdom abundance, says we give freely because we know that our source is God. Father God. He's the source of all things. Source of all things. Matthew 6, 19 to 24. Jesus is talking about here in the context of finances, in the context of money, in the context of goods. And let me say this very clearly, it is not wrong to be wealthy. It's not wrong to have an abundance of goods. But I have seen people who have wealth and have an abundance of goods and they have a poverty mindset. I've seen people who are poor according to the world standards and they have an abundant mindset. How does this work? It's a transformation of the heart. And Paul was clear when he wrote to Timothy that God gives us all things to enjoy, everything richly to enjoy. But he said, command those who are rich in this age to be a blessing, to give abundantly, to use their wealth for good things. And Jesus is basically saying the same thing here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He says this, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That is an absolutely powerful statement. And we'll talk about what the word heart means here in a moment. The eye is the lamp of the body. What are you focusing on? Think about that. What are you focusing on? Your eyes give you sight in the natural and give you focus. But what does your heart focus on? What do your thoughts focus on? Wasn't it exciting last Sunday, Pastor Larry, you gave the amount, when we took a second offering, amen? Well, we're taking four today. Yeah, you laugh, all right. A pastor called me from Saskatchewan a few weeks ago, and we were just talking about the changes that are coming in Becky and I's life and so on. And he asked me, he says, look, it'd be great for you to come up on a weekend. What's it going to take for you to get up here? I said, $10,000 in a Learjet. See, you laughed again. There's no faith here, Pastor Larry. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And by the way, let me say this. In the midst of our pain, in the midst of our sin, in the midst of our mistakes, in the midst of our failings, and it feels really dark, Jesus is in the midst of that because he truly is light. He never shies away from any of that. He's there and he's been there the whole time. No one can serve two masters. Anything with two heads is a freak. Think about that. You want to ruin a man's vision? Give him two. It's like chasing two rabbits. You'll never catch one. You can't serve two masters. Jesus was saying this. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Other translation is mammon. That was a system of finance. It was an actual god that the Philistines had set up. The spirit of mammon, the god of mammon. Exchange, money, goods, of which they bowed down to it. And how often, if we're honest today, that we have bowed down to that spirit of mammon in the body of Christ. Politics control the body of Christ. Money controls the body of Christ. Fear controls the body of Christ. We're supposed to be free of it. The only thing that should be controlling us is the lordship of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit and the worship of the Father. But we've often bowed to the fear of money, bowed to the fear of man. What are people going to think? What are people going to think? I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure what most of you think. And I'm not, more and more, I'm not really concerned about it. I am more concerned about what my Father thinks of me. And I know what he thinks of me. He's crazy about me. And he's crazy about you. And out of that crazy love, we love to be generous. Amen? Generosity. Wow. Jesus was going after the heart here. Where's your treasure? Where's your treasure? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's not wrong to have savings. It's not wrong to store some finances up for later in life. That's not wrong. But our first modus operandi in the body of Christ is generosity. I've been hearing a little bit and also hearing lots of excitement about the possibility or where the Lord's leading this body down the road and with the arena. And the first thought that comes to people is, have you seen the size of our congregation? Who gives a hoot? Do you know what God thinks of us? Amen, church. The whys are more important than the hows, Pastor Larry. The whys are far more important than the hows. And the first thing people say is, how? How about the whys? How about the whys that it just might be a catalyst to draw the body of Christ together in the city of Medicine? How about it just might be a catalyst where people who are bound and addicted could come for greater ministry? How about the fact that there's poverty in our city and it needs to be broken in the name of Jesus Christ? How about the fact that the city needs Jesus Christ? Those are the whys, the hows. Let God deal with that. He's not broke. Amen? He's not broke. You read Haggai. Becky and I read Haggai this week together. The silver and gold are mine, says the Lord. And somebody just says, well, show that and throw it out a little bit here, Lord. We need some silver and gold. They're his. All of it's his. Everything you own is not your own, including your life. Apostle Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. I've been crucified. You've got to crucify the fact that your dependence is upon the world's goods. Our dependence is wholly on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Master. Amen, Pastor Mark. Thank you. That's good preaching. My back, sorry. My back. For where your heart is, the word heart means thoughts, intentions, motives, or passions. What motivates you? What motivates you? Does fear motivate you? Because fear is not a motivator, I'll tell you that. You can back up all day long, fear's following you. But when you face it in the name of Jesus, you can go through the spirit of fear. Fear is never a motivator. It will destroy your dreams. And it wants to do that. I read a tremendous Chinese proverb this week. Fear knocked on the door. Faith opened the door, and fear was not there. Isn't that great? The thought of lack, when we give, we won't have enough for us ourselves. Let's go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. A generous mind is a transformed mind. A generous mind is a renewed mind. It thinks differently about finances. It thinks differently about goods. It thinks kingdom thoughts. And you know, for years, and I've tried to do this, we're always trying to do something on earth here, okay, and get it to happen here. Do you know that when God asks you to do something, it's already been prepared for you in heaven? We just have to receive it here on earth and go do it. Do you honestly think God is surprised by the fact that this church is going through the process of looking at the arena? Oh, Jesus, I didn't know about that. That was God speaking to Jesus, by the way. Holy smokes, they're in negotiations with the city of Medicine Hat. When did you find out about that? Oh, Father God, you've prepared that long before the foundations of the earth. Oh, that Pastor Larry, he's out on a limb, I can tell you. Like, seriously? Nothing. Pastor Keith said this. No surprises with God, are there, Pastor Keith? We don't tell him anything. He's known all about it. That is so amazing. 12 verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Think about those words, living sacrifice. Isn't a sacrifice dead? I thought a sacrifice was dead. It had to be. You couldn't sacrifice unless you killed it. But this says a living sacrifice. That's an oxymoron. That's us. We're living sacrifices. Living. But we've died to the old patterns of the world, and we've been raised up to the pattern of the kingdom of God. Living sacrifices. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. As we worshiped, by the way, we just had two wonderful worship leaders this morning. Amen? Amen. Okay, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You must renew and transform your thinking in the area of generosity. And the only way you can do that is you get into the teaching of Jesus Christ, and you must unearth all the junk that's probably there from many different things, and pull that out of your soul and put into your soul the Word of God. Here's the other thing that is so important with generosity. Gratitude. Gratitude. If you're always thinking about what you don't have, you're not going to have it. But if you're grateful for everything you do have, there's a generous spirit that rises up in that. Remember we talked about listing three things you're grateful for every day? But if you're always thinking about what you don't have, you're never grateful for what you do have. And out of what you do have, you can do something and you can give. Becca's going to share a story.
Actually, I got two little ones. Two stories.
I said one.
I know, but okay. But if you keep talking now, you're taking up my time. Well, two of them, and they're about Russia. And there was a lady that we stayed with. Her name was Faya. Wonderful lady. Loved the Lord. And what she had really was nothing. She had a fridge, but nothing in it because she couldn't afford the electrical. No hot water. So it was just like she had nothing. So Mark and I had discussed we're going to leave money with her so she could, you know, have some groceries and whatever, just whatever she needed it for, pay a bill or something. So we did that in the morning. You know, by evening, she had people in for supper with that money and was wanting to share and bless and you know, so that's just out of her heart. She was such a wonderful, wonderful woman. She prayed hours through the night before the next day of our adoption, our daughter Ksenia, over in Russia, and she was just a really godly woman. The apple at the church there in Perm, where we were, they had nothing. They didn't have anything either. I do remember, it came to me, that we did, as a church, take an offering for those boys. Those boys, their mouths were filled with glue because it was easier for them to get glue off the street than it was food, to sniff it, and that would take hunger pains away and make their mind not understanding that they're hungry. Anyway, after church, this fella, this gentleman, and I knew he had nothing, came to me with an apple. And right away, I'm thinking to myself, maybe a bit of pride, I don't know, but the first thing I want to say is, I don't need that. You know, I'm good. I don't need that. But it wasn't about me. It was about him. It was about his heart. And the blessing I would have taken from him if I had said no to this apple. So I took this apple graciously, but the point is the heart. His heart was so willing to give me something that he didn't have. So that was my story. Okay. Just kidding.
Now think about this apple, and if we were to cut into it, there would be seeds, correct? This apple came from seeds. We're not going to have time to get into it today, but your giving is seed. Your giving is seed. It's the law of seed time and harvest, the law of sowing and reaping. Satan does not want the body of Christ to really fully understand this law. He wants to keep the body of Christ impoverished in their thinking. And ultimately, folks, money purchases no one. It's the Spirit of God draws people to the cross that purchases and purchased their salvation. But everything in our life is a seed. Our words are seed. Our love is seed. The mercy we show is seed. The grace we show is seed. Everything is seed. God will not be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, Galatians 6:7. That man sowed into Becca's life an apple. It was the only piece of food that that man had. You think about that. Money, like these pliers, is a tool. That's all money is. It's a tool. We use finances to do what we have to do. After people come to Christ, the preaching of the word, the spread of the gospel, takes resources. And money is simply a tool. Money has no morality attached to it, only what you use it for. Think about that. Only what you use it for. There's no morality, it's amoral. It's what we use finances for. And generosity comes out of a mindset and a heart that has been so touched by the Spirit of the living God and His unconditional love that His love compels us to be generous. Pastor Randy, when he spoke on this, said that churches that are starting to thrive are churches that expand their outreach fourfold. That's 400%. Why? Because they get the power of generosity. They understand the love of God the Father. They understand that without Christ, where would they be? And out of that love, they just, let's go. Let's give. They believe. They've got faith. They can do it. Because of the power and love of God that's in their life. Thoughts such as, or patterns like lack, greed, fear, or this one. Those people don't deserve it. I'm going to touch on that in a minute. Let's go to Romans. Romans 5:5, and then we'll go to 1 John 3:1. Romans 5:5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. God has poured out His love. Let's go to 1 John. All about God's love. Chapter 3. Verse 1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, or King James bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. It didn't know Christ. And that's the reason the world should look at us and go, who are these people that love this much? Unfortunately, the church has not got the greatest reputation of loving, but that's changing, isn't it? It's changing because the Holy Spirit's changing it. The Spirit is reforming us, changing us into the glory of God so Canada can see a glorious church, mighty and strong. Say amen to that. You're included in that. Wow. The word lavished means to bestow something in generous and extravagant abundance. And we preach a broke God. No siree. He is not broke. He has it all. He's got everything. He's got us. And when you give and are moved and compelled by the Spirit, because New Testament giving is Spirit-led giving. It's abundant. It's generous. It doesn't hang on. It gives. And the abundant God that we serve does give back. Try Him. Test Him. He'll give you everything you've ever dreamt of. He'll give you what you need and more so you can keep pouring in. It's amazing. I want to just hit for a moment on this thought that, well, people don't deserve our help. Well, then we should just go to hell. Well, that's a strong statement, Pastor Mark. It's a truth statement. We didn't deserve the cross. We didn't deserve the shed blood of Christ. We deserved none of it. But God in His extravagant love poured out His love, poured out His grace, poured out His mercy. And how could we ever say those people don't deserve help? Then we should just go to hell. Well, that's really strong. You bet it is, because that's the truth. There is a hell. There is a hell. But we can avert that place and receive by grace and freely receive the goodness and love of God the Father displayed by Christ. And that's what we need to preach. Can I hear an amen? Wow, I don't go to hell. I ain't going there. He rescued me. He rescued us. Abundant, lavished love on us. While we were still sinners, you had that in your notes, I think, last week, Larry. Christ dies for us. Really? And we think those people don't deserve help. They've messed up their lives. Oh, wow. Tell me when you haven't. And we'll be wise with the giving. But we need a sober thought that if it wasn't for Christ, this entire planet was hellbound. Never was the will of God, and never will be. Let's go to, we'll just go real quickly to 2 Corinthians 9, and I'm just going to walk through this. We don't have time to pull it apart. 2 Corinthians 9. And I'm going to share one more story. And when stories are shared, folks, it's to encourage you, okay? It's not to say this is what we've done. It is to encourage you. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, and we'll read it in a minute. A couple weeks ago, we just had something amazing happen here on a Wednesday morning in the church. And Pastor Larry, you were away, so Randy was busy with someone upstairs, and he comes to me, I'm upstairs, and he says, there's a Muslim family in the office. And I went, I'll just go down and meet them. And so this family was down in the office. I walked through the office door, and it was like I got baptized fresh in the power of the Holy Spirit. Where's Lynn? Lynn, you remember it. And Lynn was just doing this amazing job of explaining to them. They had come. They had no food in their fridge. They are from Syria, from Damascus. Maybe I was looking at another Apostle Paul. Really interesting. And so I just said, Lynn, you know what? I'll handle this. It's good. And so I sat down with them in the room here, and they had a little boy. Actually, I have five children. The other kids were in school. They couldn't speak good English because of where they just come from. I want you to picture this for a minute. I want to send some of us, and we're going to be refugees in Syria. I can see the excitement on your face. And I'm going to take you out of your home country, and I'm going to place you into Syria. Because this country's getting bombed and literally torn to shreds. You work through the system, and our government, I think, has been very generous. And because certain things within the system, they didn't have certain paperwork, they were not getting what's called their child tax credit. Samus Immigration has just recently helped them to get all that paperwork in, and they were big time short. They had no food in their home. Well, did you go up and check? Nope. I went with what the Spirit told us to do. So I sat down with them, and I heard their story. And it was really amazing. And so we've got some, obviously, language barriers, and we've got cultural barriers, and we've got, quote-unquote, religious barriers. I don't like to use that word, but the mom was not feeling well. And so I said to the husband, I would like to pray for your wife that she gets well. And the little boy interpreted. And then I really went a step further because this is not good. I asked the husband if I could take the wife's hand. Because culturally, little boy said that, and the husband said, oh, yes, yes, yes. And I said, I will pray in the name of Yeshua, Jesus. Oh, yes, yes, that was fine. So we had a quick time of prayer. It wasn't this, just ask the Lord to touch her and heal her. That was it. And then I phoned Becky, and I said, Becky, we have a little missions project this morning. Are you free? This was just right on the spur of the moment, hon? So I explained to her, and I said, we got to go get this family groceries. So Becca met them up at Superstore, and this beautiful Muslim family got groceries. And so of which we have their phone number, and they want us to be in contact with them because we're going to go to their house for supper. Generosity opens doors. Hear this. Generosity and love opens doors. Now, we didn't do that so we could get something from God. The love of God compels us to do something. And as we heard Wednesday morning, Pastor Larry, at EA, there is a work happening amongst Muslim people in this community. Very powerful. Remember this, verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. There's the law. Seed time and harvest. Each man, now here's the key, each man, each person should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Remember I said a couple Sundays, if you're not giving your offering with joy and laughter, please go back and get it. No, I'm serious. That's the truth. One pastor told people who weren't giving, he challenged them and said, start giving and start being a blessing. And in 3 months, if God hasn't met your needs and blessed you, you can have your 3 months' money back that you gave to the church. Not a bad plan, eh? See, the proof is God will meet our needs. I can feel the faith in here. And God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Don't you want to abound in every good work? Of course we do. It comes through generosity. Let's stand. Life groups, you can go through that. Those sheet, yeah, Roxy, BJ, would you come? They're gonna sing that song they sang during as the elements were being passed out, and we're just gonna worship for a minute, and then we're gonna close the service. But as they sing, why don't we abundantly worship God? What do you say? Amen. Abundantly worship God for all He's done for us, for everything He's given us. Think about what He's done. First of all, the cross, shed His blood, gave us everything. Everything. Amazing. And then I'll close in prayer. Lead us. Thank you so much.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see His wounds, His hands, His feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in Him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Praise the name of the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trampled death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God.
What a beautiful song. Amen. Lord, we worship You. Let's lift our hands. Lord, we generously give You our lives. Because You were so generous with us. So generous. In fact, the human mind cannot comprehend what You've done. It's brought about by the Spirit of God. Bless the people. Bless this church. Increase their territory, O God. Increase them.
Amen.
By the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're here before we leave and you've never received Christ, or you need to recommit your life to Christ, I just encourage you to do that. Is there anyone you'd say, Pastor, would you have somebody pray with me? Lift your hand high and we're going to have somebody pray with you. If you need to recommit to Jesus, is there anyone? Or come to Christ for a first time, is there anyone? All right. Do you know, this couple's going to play for a little bit. Is that okay? Okay, because there's such a beautiful atmosphere here. And if you would just like to come and kneel here today. Just kneel at this altar. Kneel at a chair. But coming is like a step of faith, a walk of faith. You just like to come and kneel and seek the Lord. We'll just open this front up. This is not an altar, but it can be your altar today. It can be your place to come and pray. So Father, we dismiss this beautiful group of people convicted of the Spirit, by the Spirit, of the incredible generosity of our God. No cheapskates in here, Lord, as You're not a cheapskate. Wow, did You give to us? Wow, how beautiful. So bless them. Holy Spirit, we pray. And everybody said, amen. This is open. If you want to come and just kneel.